Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
How holy is our God? Lord, we cry to you, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. There's none like you. There is no one like you. There is no other God like you. There is no one in heaven like you. And we'll have no other God but you. You are our one and only. Lord, we want to walk in your holiness. We want to walk in your heavenly courts. We want to walk in your heavenly presence. You said, sir, that our citizenship is in heaven. We have a legal right to walk there. You said our citizenship is in heaven. We have a legal right to be seen there, to be known there, to come into your courts, to come before your presence, though we are just human. We have the right to come before you and worship. We have the right to pour out our offerings, our love, our perfumes, our everything we have, our life, our life. That's a privilege. Some people think it's a cost. It's a privilege to pour out your life for him. It's an honor that we get to do that. As we worshiped, I saw something very unusual. I saw certain people in the room that have been through some things, I feel like even this summer. And I saw God pulling you up and out of it, like literally lifting you up and out of it. And some people had it was like a veil of stickiness or a veil of a shroud of some kind of darkness. And each one was different. And I'm not saying it's everyone in the room, but some people have been through some battles in the past few months. You know, we don't always know when we're in a battle. Sometimes we just think stuff happened. But we don't always realize that sometimes the enemy has created a veil of something sticky, and it causes us to feel a little dull, a little weary, a little tired, like, oh yeah, I really don't feel like it today. And we don't realize that an enemy has done this. But I also saw someone whose reputation was smeared illegally. You were disrespected. I want to say betrayed, but it's more disrespected in a public way. And a lot of times the people who do this do it because they are not free, right? They're not whole. So the only way to make themselves feel bigger is to bring you down. You understand? We love them and we bless them and we forgive them, but they're not whole. And their indictment against you will not stand. I'm just saying, there's someone in here. You were disrespected and you were kind of pushed low or brought low because someone else had wanted to be high. But that never works in the kingdom. You know, it may take a little time, but God will always put things in right order if we don't faint and if we don't let our heart grow weary or bitter. You know, sometimes we want to feel a certain way. But if you want to beat persecution, if you want to beat betrayal, if you want to win in the kingdom, allow God to move through your heart to build the kingdom. You know, before I understood the concept, sometimes I thought the person was my enemy. And I will never forget this. There was a man, he was actually a warlock. This guy was a warlock. And he wanted to do damage, very damaging type of stuff. And it was such clarity one day, clear. I saw that this poor soul wasn't my enemy. He was trapped by the enemy, bound for hell, doesn't know it, and the worst thing, the meanest thing I could do to Satan is get him free, get him saved, release him into God's kingdom. Now I have really hurt the enemy. See, if we're in our flesh, what we want to do is hurt that guy, speak bad of that guy, stop that guy. That's what our flesh does. Remember the disciples said, you know, should we call down fire upon them? They were, you know, they wanted to try out their new wheels, right? They found out they had some authority. They wanted to, you know, try out, take it out for a spin. Jesus said, you know not what spirit you are of. Because there's always a hope in God's heart that the worst Pharisee, the worst one, the worst Satanist, the worst person you know, the person who betrayed you and hurt you and crushed your heart, that person, there's still a hope in God's heart. There's still a hope that if they could be redeemed. But see, you have to see, you have to understand how it works in the spirit realm. We only see in this very limited realm, so we don't understand God's heart because we haven't understood the reality of the kingdom. That God's heart, they are bound, they are hurting, they are screwed up, they aren't even thinking straight. And they were probably born into it, so they never had a chance. A lot of the people who are in that stuff were born into it. I personally prayed with a lady. She had gotten saved by some miracle. I'll never forget this. I was in Kansas City. And a lady came to me for help. She had been raised by Satanists. She was raised in Satanist meetings. And as a toddler, one of her earliest memories was her little hand was made to hold the shaft of the knife while someone was being killed. That was one of her... Can you even think what kind of destruction that would do to a little child's heart? And so, you know, we expect them to get saved and just be okay. But there's so much damage gone on. Now, Jesus can do it, and I've seen him do it. Jesus wants to take people back, whole families back. And back to this thing I saw, what I saw is some people who you've been struggling and you've been trying, but you may not feel like you've been winning. But I saw that some of it was, Satan never plays fair. He plays dirty pool. He cheats, he's cruel. And he'll do things that we don't always see if we're not looking. If we're not asking the question, we don't always see. It's not always him, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it's us, not always the devil. But what I saw was just people stuck, a few people, not everyone in here, but a few people were stuck in the things that had gone on over the last months, and you feel like you're marching in place and you're trying to get further, but you're kind of stuck. And I saw the Lord not just give you a push, but I saw him pick you right up and above it. Like when you come up above the clouds, do you ever get on an airplane and it's a rainy, cruddy, cloudy, dark day? And when that jet pulls up above the clouds, it's this bright, shining, amazing, beautiful day. Same day, different realm. Same day, different height. We have the option. We have been given legal right anytime we want, and we have to do it by faith. We have been given legal right to go up above any time. When there's trouble, don't sit in it. Don't stew in it. Don't complain about it. Don't let your mouth get in gear. Your mouth can be your worst enemy or your best friend. Because your mouth, believe this or not, your mouth controls your soul. So it controls your emotions. People are all head up about your mouth controlling your physical healing. There is definitely truth to that. But what I've seen is that we get to determine how we feel. See, I used to be absolutely in bondage to my feelings. My feelings were all over the place. I didn't understand. And one day God began to teach me our feelings were meant to be subject to us. Your feelings were never meant to rule you. Your emotions weren't meant to rule you. They were meant to serve you. And you get to tell them how to feel. And you may not, people usually don't believe me when I'm telling this until I take them through a few proclamations. And then I say, do you feel a difference? They're like, yeah, I do. I've seen people delivered from one proclamation. Because it's a proclamation is legal tender in heaven. When you make a proclamation of what the word has said, it's like you have come before the courts in heaven, before the throne of God. And you have said, this is my legal right. And your emotions, literally, this is how dumb they are. They're like, oh, okay. I mean, I'm telling you from experience. I used to be an absolute wreck emotionally. Emotionally driven. lived in depression because I didn't know any better. And as God walked me out of it and taught me, I began to realize I didn't have to feel bad anymore. I didn't have to get depressed anymore. Does that mean my circumstances changed or that they're always good? No, but they don't own me. Your circumstances do not have to own your reaction. It's like Eleanor Roosevelt's famous, wonderful statement. Nobody can make you feel bad without your permission. That might not be exact, but they can't make you feel bad about yourself without your permission. Circumstances can't either. I said, your circumstances don't have to determine. And you say, well, you don't know mine. Well, I could tell you some of mine. I'd curl a hair on your head. I could tell you some things I lived through that were horrible. And you know what? When I learned this, I learned I never have to lay on the floor and cry unless I just flat want to. I don't have to do that. I can tell the circumstances what to do. I can tell the devil what to do. And I can tell my feelings what to do. And I don't even have to yell. And I discovered that our soul was designed to serve our spirit. And you say, well, aren't they the same? No, the Bible says they're not. Think about it. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Two things. So your spirit man, that's your born-again spirit that was recreated when you got born again. That's the new you. That's the you from heaven. That's your heavenly identity, which, by the way, was written in his book, Psalm 139, verse 16, was written in his book before one of your days came to be. You were written in heaven. Your identity, the description of you, your life, it's all written. Isn't that amazing? Your soul is part of our Adamic nature from Adam, right? So it's our mind and our will and our emotions. And if we don't learn how to steward it and manage the thing, it will run our life. And we'll be like this, you know, we'll just be all over the place with our feelings. Somebody says something mean, and we feel like we have to get down about it because so-and-so is mean. So-and-so said something not true about me. Well, you know what? We don't have to do that. Because if we trust in God and wait, he'll set it right. He always sets it right. It takes a little time. But you know what? They did it to Jesus. And if they did it to Jesus, it's very likely they will do it to us. So Satan has tried to stop some of you. And think about it. Why would he take such great pains to do that? Because he's nervous. He's nervous about who you are and what God has you here to do. So there's this war on. Here's most of the Christians I know, God bless them, don't know that there's a war on over you every day. There's this stuff going on in the spirit every day. And you think you're going through life with these natural circumstances and natural people and dealing with it in a natural way and wondering, why doesn't God come and fix it? Does that make sense? But if we can learn how to rise above it and make some choices that are quality. You know, there's a scripture in Hebrews 12:1. It says, seeing we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight that besets us, every sin that encumbers us. You think, well, what are those weights? What are the things that make each of us has some propensities. Did you know that? One person may be more drawn to drugs. Another person may be drawn to the casino. Now, we overcome it. But why would one person be so addicted to porn and the next person couldn't care less about that, but they were addicted to alcohol or drugs? You know, and the other person's a sugar addict. What's that about? It used to really bug me. Why is that? Well, part of it is generational, granted that. Part of it is generational. Like if your great-grandfather had issues, it's, you know, quite often, you have the legal right to get rid of that. You understand? You don't have to stay that way. But a lot of times, it's something that was in your family line. Sometimes it's a reaction to something someone did to you when you were 8. People are still reacting to things that happened to them when they were children. You know why? That's the weight that besets you. It's something that's in your soul that you're still reacting to. So one of the things, you know, I'll just tell you the honest truth. You've heard me talk about faith. And I love faith. I'm a faith person. But when I first got saved, the first 10 years of my growing up in the Lord was in a Word of Faith church, okay? And the Word of Faith basically says, the Word is true, nothing else is, live by the Word and you'll be fine. And that's true. That's absolutely true. But if you have stuff in your soul, sometimes you can't hear that very well. And I had stuff. A weight can be something in your soul that it causes you to still react to the time you got beat up, or the time you were called stupid, or the time it was said of you that you'll never make it. You're the dumbest kid in your family. Stuff like that. People say brutal things like that. Even parents say, why can't you be like your brother? They say, they don't even mean it. They don't even know what they're doing. But a child who's impressionable may or may not say, I'm not as good as my brother. I'll never be that smart. I'll never be able to do it. I've told you the stories. I've worked with so many people who believed the lie. You understand? It wasn't true. It was, even though we love our parents, we love and honor our parents, but sometimes they didn't know better, right? They didn't know better than to disrespect or disregard, because often they're looking in the natural. They don't see your gifting. Humans don't see your gifting. Did you know that? Most humans can't see who you are on the inside. And so people don't value people. Most people don't value who you are because they can't see who you are. They see you're bumbling, you're stumbling, they think you're weird or whatever the deal is. You know, or if you're funny, they think you're funny. If you're cute, they think you're cute, because they're so busy looking at the external. But inside you, there are things that God has placed there. So it's not just these negative things. God has placed some holy things inside you that he is trying to grow. But these weights in the soul are trying to hold you back. So there's a war on in you, right? Remember Romans 7. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, the thing I want to do, I don't do, the thing I don't, the thing I want to do, I don't do, the thing I don't want to do, I do. He said, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of sin? He talked about that there were two people called Paul living in his body. Actually, one might have been called Saul. Paul, Saul, Paul. And there was this war on. And he wanted to do good, but he didn't always. He was just talking about that war between the flesh and the spirit. And he even said, these two are at enmity. They're enemies. So you have two enemies living in your body. So who determines who wins? You do. If you don't know there's a war on, though, you're just measuring. This is what most believers do. They blow it, and then they judge themselves. If they know the word enough, they'll go and confess their sin. He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But they don't know enough to deal with their innards, right?
Right.
But if you can learn this, listen, the Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers, or in proportion to the way your soul is prospering. In other words, God wants you prosperous and in health, but did you know that sometimes if someone battles health issues or battles financial issues, there's a soul sickness? Did you know that? And again, we've seen people healed physically and healed financially when the soul issue got healed. Now, that seems strange, doesn't it? But if the weight that so easily besets you is something in your soul, is this okay? Is this not too complicated? If there's something in your soul that drags you down, I'll give you an example. Sometimes people think they're not enough and that no matter what they do, they're never going to measure up. And they usually think that because some turkey told them that. Some who didn't know better, someone wasn't kind. Now, some kids, someone could be unkind to them and they wouldn't take it on. But most kids, if they're young and impressionable, and especially if the person who said it is in authority, they think, well, it must be true. I'm just never going to be able to amount to anything. So they will disqualify themselves even though they should be qualified. They'll disqualify themselves so they won't even try out for the team. They won't even apply to the college. They won't even consider going into ministry because they have disqualified themselves because they believed a lie that isn't true. Have you ever disqualified yourself and then later God came along and said, wait a minute, I want you doing that? Because it's His grace that makes us able anyway. Right. His ability is what makes us able to do these things. So we need to learn how to rule, steward, I shouldn't say rule, but steward our soul better. Steward your thoughts, your will, and your emotions. So be careful what you accept as a truth. Be careful what you accept as truth. Whenever an idea comes to you, and some people have been so steeped in the lie, and that lie could, there's 1,000 lies, I've seen so many, but I'm not worthy, I'm not good, I'm not smarter, I'm the best, I'm the greatest, there's no one like me. Barf, barf, barf. Right? Because we believe whatever we were told. I recently saw a man who, it's kind of interesting, this man, he's in the natural, he's very good looking, but he was always a failure, and suddenly he hit it real big. I mean like big, big in the movies. And he suddenly got like, you know, I'm all that. And I, you know, the poor soul, it was like the ugly duckling. You could see the human behavior. We're all so human. And it was like this guy who'd never had attention suddenly was on the front page of everything, and his behavior showed it, and he started to behave in a way that we'd like, you know. See, because he'd always disqualified himself. What I'm trying to say to you is you have no idea what you're capable of in God. Because I'll tell you, most of the things that you're called to do in God, you don't have the natural ability to do anyway. You just have to have the guts and the fortitude to believe Him and allow His ability to flow through you to do the thing. Right. One of the main things God makes me do, I will tell you, every time He has me do it, it takes everything I have to do it, because I know that in me I do not have the natural capability, and yet He does it every time. He does it every time. And when He does it, there are changes, good ones. But it takes everything I have to do it, because I have to restructure my thinking, don't I, right? I have to come in line with His truth. Sometimes we don't have a natural ability, and that's okay. But His grace or His ability can flow through us to do the very thing we're called to do. So when He has called you to do something, don't look at yourself in the mirror and say, well, I don't think I can do that. I don't have the ability. Well, probably not. But Jesus wants to do it through you, because see, if you did it, He wouldn't get the glory anyway. Come on, if you do it, that's no fun. Fun is backing up to Him and letting Him flow through you. Yeah. And watching Him do something, you're like, how'd you even do that? Wow, Lord, how'd you even do that? And people, when that happens, everyone knows it's Him, and that's the way it's supposed to be. We want everyone to know it was Him. That's the whole point. That He would get the glory and the praise and the honor by using people that weren't usable, you know? Right? Didn't He say He picked the foolish to confound the wise? Yeah. So there are these weights that beset us. And what I felt like the Lord, you're just going to have to trust me on this, but we can tell our soul what to do. If your soul is downcast, you know what David said? He talked to his soul. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Do you remember when they had the whole thing at Ziklag? There was horrible. There were, after this big war, horrible defeat, and his men are mad at him. It says David encouraged himself in the Lord. You think it's possible he talked to his soul? He worshipped. One of the purposes of worship, worship is best done in a dark place when you're feeling like it's nothing's going to work. That's the best time to worship. I said that's the best time to worship. That's a sacrifice of praise. And what you're doing is saying, yeah, I get it that it's dark, but that's not going to rule me. You are the King of all kings. I'm just going to read you a couple scriptures. First one is John 14:1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them. Come on. Don't let. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it. Psalm 42:5, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him. Now, we just think that's a nice saying, but he was actually telling his soul, put your hope in God. Don't you dare be downcast, because he sees the end from the beginning. This was the man, by the way, when all of Israel was afraid of Goliath, this guy at what, about 15, knew better. He was able to look higher and go, no. We are in covenant with God. We have a covenant. We get to win. You know what our problem is? We're so used to everything happening immediately. If something doesn't happen immediately, we say, well, I guess God doesn't want it. And you cut short the goodness of God. Is anybody home? We accept defeat when God isn't anywhere near done. First of all, have you prayed it through? Have you stood your ground? Have you stood on the scriptures? See, as you age in God, one of the things that should happen is you begin to know his character. His character is always, always going to be to come to your aid, to come to your defense, to bring you through it, and cause you to have victory with more knowledge than you had before, transforming you on the way so you're not such a chicken anymore. When I was young in the Lord, I still blamed God. I didn't get it. You made a promise. Why don't you just do it already? I mean, that's how ignorant I was. But over the years, I began to see over and over and over and over and over that God never fails if we don't quit. He never fails to bring victory if we won't quit. And if we put our hope in God and we realize that he is good, period. He is good. He only has good for you. You know what our issue is? We're snotty. We're bratty. We doubt him. And I'm telling you, I learned this by looking in the mirror. I'm not pointing any fingers. I was young and I was ignorant and unworthy as heck because I blamed God. I didn't understand why. You know, I just wanted it fixed. And it was years and years. But you know what? It would have been shorter if I'd have got a clue. I could have shortened my years of trials. You can shorten your years of trials. You can shorten trials. In fact, some trials, if you know what you're doing, you can have some trials that never come. You see them coming, you can stop them. I said you see them coming, you can stop them. But it has to do with an understanding of who he is, an understanding of his character. Sometimes the sin will say, nope, we're not doing that. Oh no, I see you, devil, we're not doing that. In the name of Jesus. Taking the covenant and shoving it in his face. God actually desires for his children to win. Did you know that he desires for his children to be healed? He desires it more than you desire it. But you think, oh, I guess we're going there. When we are young in him, we think we are on earth, he is in heaven, and we are pleading with him to override earth rule. We are asking him to override something. Come here and do this for me, God. That is not the system. For one thing, what he did, he has already done. He has purchased it and bought it. It is already yours. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been given to you. Where is it? You say, well, where is it? It's in heavenly places. He has purchased it. He has bought it. Some of you may or may not have heard me share this, but God showed me the floor of heaven was littered with healings. Prosperity was littered with everything we will ever need. You know how it came to be? It came to be because Jesus bought it, purchased it, paid for it in blood, and distributed it. Where is it? In heavenly places. Is he going to deliver it to your little house? No. That's your job. Is anyone home? The stuff is yours. Now, how did you get salvation? Did he come to your little door? Say, I save you. Poof. No. He had someone tell you the truth, but you had to make a choice. Right. You had to choose, yeah, okay, I'm going to believe that, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to take this as mine. And so now if Satan comes to you and says, well, you're not saved, what are you going to say? Oh, you're right, I'm not saved. No, you're going to say, no, I'm saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart, God is raised from the dead, you shall be saved. I did, and I am. Get out of here. And you're going to quote the scripture to him, and you're going to know in your heart that you are saved, right? Yeah, if you have any sense. But if he comes to your door and he says, well, you're not healed. Look at that rash on your leg. You're not healed. You still have pain. Oh, you're right. Oh, Father, won't you please heal me? That would be like us going to God every night. Please save me. Oh, Jesus, please save me. Well, that'd be ridiculous. He'd be like, if God could be confused, he'd be scratching his head saying, what is wrong with you? Have you not read my word? You know, I just remember there was a man years ago, I think his name was Dr. Eby, and he died, and he came back, And I forget the story, but one of the things, every question he asked Jesus, every question, Jesus said, well, didn't you read my book? Didn't you read my book? And then he would quote the scripture and he would teach him out of the word. And some of the questions were not easy ones. Every question he asked Jesus, didn't you read my book? See, the truth is in there. But you know, we kind of blow through it. You know, one of the worst things you can do is just read it because you think it's your duty to read it. Ow. Because you won't get anything. This is it's a heart window to the kingdom of heaven. Every verse is a heart window to the kingdom of heaven. And if you come to a place in prayer where you can read the Bible in the Spirit, all kinds of things become evident. All kinds of revelation. And if you hang out enough with God, a spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of wisdom and revelation, begins to attend you. When the spirit of wisdom and revelation attend you, I will tell you the honest truth. For years I would read the Bible and I'd be like, you know. Some people have this wonderful gift and a wonderful mind. They can study for just hours and hours and hours and just, they're brilliant. I have to tell you, not so much for me. It was more of a battle. And a lot of times I would read it and I'd be like, that's great, not really, you know. I'm embarrassed to say it, but it was true. For years it was true. And I just kept crying out to God. And I don't know what happened, but after enough years, and I pray a lot, I'll be honest with you, I always have. It's like one day something went boop, and everywhere I would open the word. You know, somebody'd say something, you know, just because when, here's a key, what you honor in God honors you. What you honor in God honors you. So if you begin to tend to the Holy Spirit, he begins to tend to you. If you value him, he values you. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, so will he also reap. And the measure you use is measured back to you. So if you disregard the word, if you disregard the Holy Spirit, if you disregard prayer, you're probably not going to have the same results as someone who values it highly. You know, and over the years, our value system should change. Mine sure has. Over the years, my value of what is important in life has radically changed to what I find to be a priority now is my time with him. And see, I used to say that, but in fact, it wasn't true. And you can always tell by where you put your time. People say, well, I'm just so busy. Yeah, who isn't? But when, you know what, you're busy with what's your priority. And I'm not saying some people have, you know, some people have kids and jobs and a spouse and an aging parent, so I get that. However, when someone is your priority, they become your time priority. But once that begins to happen, something begins to happen in you. And there's an interchange between you and heaven, and you begin to walk in an open heaven. Now, don't picture this outside open heaven. It's inside you. The kingdom of heaven is in you. But to most people, it's kind of closed. Right? You develop your walk in God. You develop it. And don't think it's going to happen in a day. You know, it's like mining for gold. You don't just walk in and go, boop, oh, I'm rich. Generally speaking, you might mine for years until you find that vein. But is he worth finding? Is he worth searching after? Is he worth praying the many times you might pray and not feel anything? Which who cares if you feel anything? You're not praying and you're not praising, you're not worshiping because you get a goosebump. You're praying, praising, and worshiping because he's worth it. He's worth it. You don't sow your money. You know why I sow? I love sowing. But to me, it's worship. I'm telling him, when I give him money, I'm telling him, you are worth more to me than this. Money, compared to you, trash. Couldn't care less about it. You are what I care about. You know what King David said? Remember the man that tried to give him the threshing floor? And he was, if you look at his, almost, you can almost see his tone of voice when you read that. He's like incensed. Like, I would not give to God something that didn't cost me. You hear the difference? Do you ever hear people talk like that now? We don't even get it. I remember, I'd never been real big on jewelry, but when I was young, I had this beautiful ring. I had two pieces of jewelry I never cared about it, but there were two pieces that were really beautiful, I really loved. And God had me give them both of them away. He had me give both of them away. And it was easy to do because it was me saying to him, you're worth more than this. You're worth more than this. You're worth more than all this. I remember the day he told me to give my horse away. I had a horse, a beautiful, double registered, beautiful, big, black Tennessee walking horse, registered as a racking horse. She had won many shows. She was very beautiful. And when I was a little kid, I had always liked really big horses. I liked walking horses, and I liked black horses. She was just huge thing, real elegant. And he let me have her for a while, and I'll never forget. My friend and I were riding, and my friend said, if I don't get taxes, she had missed the June payment on taxes on her farm. Her husband had left her when she had four children and one in the womb. She had no means of income, was struggling to make it. And she wasn't able to pay the taxes on the farm in June, so here came the, I think, September bill. And she said to me, if I don't find the money, I'm going to lose the farm. And when she said that, the Lord said, you're sitting on her taxes. And I knew he was saying, this horse is going to pay her taxes. And she was worth a pretty good sum. And I said, Lord, you know that I will give you this horse. I just want to make sure that the enemy is not tricking me. So I took a day or two and prayed on it, and I knew it was God. So I called her and I said, you know, I feel like we're supposed to sell this horse. That's your tax money. That's what we did. We sold that horse, I'm going to say like October, and in November, Edgar came into my life. I mean, I'd met him before, but he came into my life to stay, and the horse would no longer have made sense. It would not have made sense for me anymore to have that horse. See, God, you know why? You know, it was a joy to give him that. Because anytime you give him something that is of value to you, you're saying to him, I love you more than this. I love you more than this car. I love you more than this house. I love you more. And what you honor and what you tend to in him, it begins to honor you. Favor begins to shine on you. Because he sees someone that cares. He sees someone who has put him first. That's just his nature. I'm way off course here, I'm just saying. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, we're instructing our inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Why would you tell your soul not to forget the benefits? Because it's doubting, and it's fearing, and it's struggling with, maybe it's not true, maybe I'm not really healed after all. And you're saying, no, soul, listen to me carefully. Don't forget his benefits. Put your hope in God. Psalm 116, return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Did your soul ever, you know, a lot of people walk in clamor. They walk in nervousness and anxiety. One of the greatest things God ever gave to me was his spirit of rest and peace. Doesn't matter what's going on, I can have rest and peace. I don't have to work at it. I can just flip the switch and be at rest and be at peace. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, that's amazing. So you can actually tell your soul, find rest in him, because he is rest. And I'm just going to tell you a secret. People strive to hear from God. They strive and strive and strive. Worst thing you can do, because when you're striving, you're actually in the flesh, and your flesh is never going to hear from God. The how you find him is to enter his rest. On the inside, it's a place you go. Shabbat for me is a place I go. I just sink right down into it, and there he is. I used to work altar ministry for many years, where people would come and, you know, deliver the word. And I'll be honest, it was pretty accurate, but it wasn't me. What happened was I learned how to enter his rest. What is God saying? Boom, 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 boom. You see? Because in the place of rest, there's communion. There's communion. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. That's Psalm 56. So basically, we get to tell our innards how to feel, what to do, and we actually have the authority. And here's what I learned. I can take someone, I've been many, many, many phone counseling or prayer sessions where someone's just wigging out. I had a lady call me, oh, I don't know, a month or two ago, and she was in anaphylactic shock. She was by the side of the road. She was freaking out. Her heart was racing. She actually believed she was dying at that moment. She was freaked. She was talking, you know, she couldn't stop talking. And I said, finally, I had to kind of yell at her. You know, and you know me, I'm not a yeller. But I kind of yelled. I said, I told her to be quiet in kind of a sharp tone because I couldn't get her attention. I said, I can help you, but you have to let me talk. I can help you. And so she's like, okay, okay, okay. And she's trying not to talk. And I went into prayer and I just took her into that place. Let's just do it. How many people, does anybody in here have anxiety, fear, nervousness, frustration? Okay, all right. Let me just go where we go. This is just fun. Just an experiment. Lord, take them very deep into the oasis right now. We leave behind all clamor. We bind every enemy force. You have nothing to say, Satan. We take them out of their thought process and into their spirit man. We release, Lord, the goodness of God. And in one person, I saw several people raise your hand. I'm hearing them say you're going to leave your past behind, and the way you did it before is not the way you're going to do it now. You've known one way all your life, and that's been through your intellect, through your smarts. You're very smart. But I see now, almost like you unhook from that. Now, you'll still use your mind, which is great. You'll still use your mind to study, but you're going to unhook from that as being your soul owner, and you're going to step into the realms of God. You're going to step into God's way, and once you get there, you're never going to go back because you're going to know the peace and the joy of the Lord. Actually, see, it reminds me of a sleigh in the winter on snow, just smooth, just peaceful, just easy. Lord, let your waves roll over them. Let your waves of gentle mercy roll over your people, roll in through their hearts, and release all the any worry, any fear, any concern. You already have it in your hand. You already have the solution. You've already ordained their solution. And your desire is to release it into the earth. Your desire is to release your peace and your anointing into them in the earth. And in that, you're going to show them the way that they should go. And I see, I won't call you out, but I saw you letting go. You were pulling this wagon. It was a wagon of concerns. You were like pulling this wagon and you were frantic over it. And I saw you just drop it and walk away from it. Because God has it. It's like you don't have to manage anymore. You've been trying to manage, but only God can manage. Does that make sense? I'm just waiting on the Holy Ghost for a minute. I see hearts unhooking, like nervous things unhooking, worries unhooking. I heard someone's getting a new position. I'm just waiting to see if that's in the spirit or if that's a job, but you're getting a new position. Your old one was taken somewhat illegally, and you were disrespected. I think you're the person I was talking to before that was disrespected and cheated. But I saw you getting a new position and stepping into it with ease. God has a position, and I see it as the perfect framework for who you are, for your giftings. You have a lot of skills. You have a lot of understanding and a lot of wisdom. And God will not let that be cast by the wayside just because somebody else didn't get it. He's not going to let that happen. He has a purpose and a plan. And I saw you stepping up and into this position. And when you did, I heard click. And I saw, you know, when that happens, when someone steps into their position, what happens is the anointing that goes with that position begins to flow freely. God is here. Can you feel the difference? Yeah, God wants to bring us to a place where we can enter his peace anytime. Because that's who we are. We're his children. And he desires to bring us in peace. And in that place, you can hear him better. You can see your future more clearly. You can quit worrying about stuff. Quit trying to fix it. You can't anyway. The greatest victory comes when you realize, I can't do this.
Yeah.
He can. And that's okay. When you can come to a place where you stop striving to be perfect, do perfect, fix it all, and you come to the knowledge, only Jesus can do this, but he wants to. And I'm going to get out of the way and let him. When you get there, it's easy. Life is easy. Thank you, Jesus, so much. Lord, I lift up your people. I thank you for them. I thank you that each and every person in here is the house of many beautiful promises, many beautiful giftings, anointings, things we have not yet seen to come forth. And right now, I take them into the Spirit, and I see that some of them have been spoken against. Some of them have had limits put on their head by, frankly, people in the church or people at work who either just were uncomfortable with their gifting or didn't understand them or maybe didn't like someone else to have the limelight. So right now, I just remove all the shackles and limitations of any negative words that were spoken against their life or their calling, their ministry or their profession. And I release them into you to enjoy the process of coming into the fullness of who they are, who you are in them, and those amazing seeds that you've put in them, Father. And we cherish what you have done. We don't fully understand it, but one thing I know, you don't make junk. You only make good things. You only make what is holy. And so, Father, we believe you've done something good in these people. And we believe in Father, I just thank you for tonight, and I thank you for bringing every person in this room tonight. Lord, you handpicked each person here to hear this message, and we thank you that you know the beginning from the end from the beginning. You know exactly what's going on, and I just pray that we stay in sync in you. In Jesus' name, amen.